Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Motto at Midnight with your host, Motto Sasquatch. Motto is a shaman who works with the written and spoken word. He has played his flute, offers sacred smoke in the four directions. Please join Motto in sacred ceremony. And now, Motto at Midnight.
I'm just looking at Facebook here real quick. Usually before the show, I flip through it just a little bit for inspiration. Maybe for something to talk about in the last 5 minutes when I can't think of anything to talk about. Now, I'm looking at what is apparently the cover of an actual book. The person who posted it is someone I would think would probably post things, actual things, as opposed to made up stuff. Title of the book is Bookmobile Bad Girl. She gave it away free all over town is the subtitle. This would be in our we'll be in our schools soon, I'm sure. Anyway, I don't know, that just tickled me. I don't know why I wanted to share that. Good evening. This is Motto at Midnight. I am your host, Motto Sasquatch. Thank you for tuning in this evening. This is Bratwurst Festival weekend. If you don't know what a bratwurst is, it's a spicy type of sausage. We just won't go any further than that. And my hometown is evidently the bratwurst capital of the world, or at least it claims so. At any rate, they got the festival. And it's a time when our town's sons and daughters come back and recongregate and find each other again and speak to each other over bratwurst. Or at least it once was. Doesn't seem to be quite that much now. We used to have our high school class reunion annually at this time. This is the first year that has not happened. There was a competing event last year, and our event was not well attended. 2 years ago, I did the show from there, which was kind of interesting. I toyed with the idea of maybe bringing that show back and playing it, but then I thought that's not a new show, and maybe I ought to do a new show anyway. It seemed kind of a lazy thing to do sometimes, is to just pull an old show out of the archives and rebroadcast it. You deserve something fresh and exciting from me each week, and I endeavor to bring it to you. Let me, I think I'm going to go with Walk in the Right Places first tonight. This is a book of spiritual readings. It's presented to me on the occasion of my first anniversary of sobriety. Regular listeners know that. New listeners wouldn't, so now you do. Now you all know it. Do the reading for August 15th because it is now 12:03 a.m. on August 15th here in the Eastern Time Zone. Do we have a larger purpose? The 12-step program came out of a movement that was attempting to save the world by establishing universal peace. I was not aware of that. Our purpose is scaled down to helping the person who still suffers. We don't really know the route to world peace. We have learned that we must be at peace with ourselves and others in order to live happily. This means releasing the old resentments, distrust, and other faults that plague so many of us. Living the 12-step way might have been our first experience in getting along with others. We found it totally different from the hate and suspicion that once poisoned our lives and kept us in bondage. At some point, we may also find that we're playing a part in the larger purpose of finding peace. We have at least removed ourselves from the raging conflicts that cause so much trouble in the world. I'll be at peace with everyone I meet today. I've forgiven others and myself, and I'll do nothing today that gets me embroiled in conflict with others. That can be a tall order, can't it? Especially when you spend time on Facebook. Let me just divert here just for a second. I have stopped going, that's very annoying. I have, shit. Anyway, I read that book as Walk in Dry Places, and it's kind of small type, and I struggle because I have the bifocals, and you must tilt your head up and down furiously to read with the bifocals, and my particular bifocals are not adjusted properly. And I told them at the time they made them for me that they weren't adjusted for me, but of course they say, well, now just take it home, and you'll get, you know, you just do it over a period of days, you'll be fine. Well, it wasn't fine. It stayed just the same shitty out of adjustment as it was when I got them. So I went back for my annual exam and convinced, I went through my actual doctor to convince the lens guy, who was a new lens guy, that the lens needed to be made differently this time. So that is probably the very last time I will read Walk-In, because I'm supposed to go in on Monday to get the new glasses made. That will probably be the very last time I read Walk-In Dry Places with these faulty glasses. So next week, perhaps my reading will be smoother. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens, whether it's my glasses, I've been blaming on my glasses, or whether it's just some fault in my read-aloud skills. Since we did that, why don't we just roll into Shaman Tarot? Why not? We'll just get it all done in the first 10 minutes, and then I can just ramble from there. Tonight I drew the Nine of Drums, which I think I may have done before. It looks familiar. We got a gentleman in native dress, and there's a vision in front of him of two women. They look like spirits. They're in a sort of a cloud of fire. And the man and the cloud of fire are surrounded by a modern setting. People in suits, one gentleman in particular, looking back at the native man rather scornfully. And the translation of the Nine of Drums, it's supposed to be involvement. The key to a problem is hidden in everyday living. Subtle perception, good communications. I didn't have a specific question in mind when I pulled that card. Last week, I had proposed impermanence, which I realized after I started the reading really isn't so much a question as a concept. And I didn't know really how good of a reading. I wanted to talk about impermanence. I want to talk about some feelings that I've had lately as I've watched a number of these sort of monuments of my childhood and young adulthood be destroyed. The most recent of these had been the old movie theater here in town. And as I was visiting the Bratwurst Festival this evening, I walked by it, and it's a pile of rubble now. I guess the building's not quite old enough to have been a national historic place, or either that or there was no one willing to push for it. There had been an effort for some years to have it restored. It burned. When was it? I think sometime in the late 1990s, there was a fire and the building was closed up. From that point, there was, starting in 2006, there was an effort to restore it, to raise money to have it restored. And I was a part of that. I was a member of the committee for a short time in 2006 and 2007, and I had the opportunity to tour the building. And it was obviously ruined on the inside. There was the roofing material, like asbestos, fire retardant roofing material, had come off and landed on the ground and then mixed with the water that the firefighters were using to try to put the fire out. And it's just this mud material just all over everything. It's a point where it's difficult for us to go down the stairs because this mud, there really weren't any stairs. It was like a sort of a ramp going down. But I remember there was still this full-length mirror that was on the stair. The stair where it kind of went up and then turned, you know, 90 degrees and went the rest of the way up, and that took you to the balcony and to the restrooms. And at that turn, there was a big full-length mirror, I guess, so you could check your makeup or your clothes or whatever. And I remember that mirror was still there. I also remember the chandelier in the lobby was still there, along with the popcorn machine. And they showed us the projection room where the fire started. And they showed us the main theater, which had been split into two theaters at one point. and just this mud, this caked asbestos mud everywhere. But you could see how much work it was going to be to try and shovel things out of there. But my feeling was that the effort would be worth it to restore it, to restore this place where so much of my childhood was tied up. And what happened was it ended up being too much money. You know, every time you went in there, it was, you know, something else that was going to have to be fixed. Kind of like those home improvement shows on TV. Every time somebody new comes to look at it, there's a new expense, and it just got beyond the means of our, you know, 12,000 person town to attract enough donors, bidders to make the thing work. So a few weeks ago, it was leveled, and I've been very sad about that. And so I'm looking at this gentleman on this card, and he's having a very pleasant vision, which the gentleman in the suit is not sharing in, obviously. So I try to decide whether I'm the man having the vision, or am I the man in the suit? And it seems like if I'm going to match my emotions to someone, I've got to be the guy in the suit who's just not partaking in what's going on. So the question then becomes, what is the vision? What's the thing that I'm missing? What is it what's the lesson? You know, I believe that every experience that exists in the universe exists differently for each individual person. So others are having are experiencing this differently, and there's a different lesson for them. I feel that I often fail to perceive the lessons that are there for me because I'm too wrapped up in the way other people perceive things. And trying to understand, because I've always had difficulty understanding the way other people perceive things. And a lot of my effort has always gone towards trying to understand the way other people perceive things so that I'll have an easier time moving amongst these aliens that I find myself thrown in with on a daily basis. Sometimes I lose my own vision. And I had a vision. I have what I believe. I can't say I believe it to be a vision. Something happened. Something slid out of the line. And I shared it on Facebook. Let me share it here. I was driving home and driving past a structure, a county office building of some kind. And I saw that the building was on fire. I mean, the building wasn't a small fire. The building was consumed in fire. Orange and yellow flames reaching into the sky, black smoke rolling out of the windows. And I thought, you know, obviously I got to call, you know, because nobody was there, nobody was responding. I'm going to call 911 and tell them about this. I looked down to reach down to get my phone out of my pocket, but also trying to keep my eye on the road because I'm driving. I look up and there is no fire. The building is fine just as it was. So where does this information come from? Is it something that my brain generated? Is it something that came from outside? And I had a meditation teacher, Janaki Simon, who would have said, does it matter? Does it really matter in the long run whether something originated from inside of you or from outside of you? Because you still have to deal with it, you know, one way or the other. It's part of you have to figure out how this is to integrate with your experience. And by the way, those of you coming into the chat room, don't be shy. Go ahead and type something. I see people logging in and out. I'm on my own here. I do not have a co-host to operate the chat room for me. So I have to wait until I notice that someone has typed something and then try to respond to it. But I promise I will. I'm much better about the chat room than I am with the telephones, as some people have already noticed. I'm big with the telephones, and I put out on my my sort of advertisement for the show today that I was going to talk about that. And perhaps I'll get to it. I don't know. I'm only halfway through the show. I've already done both of my standbys. So I could very well get there. You just don't know. But anyway, where was I? I got into the vision. So the vision, and I asked some of my friends, and I really didn't get a whole lot of input. I may have to go to them, you know, personally, because I put this up on Facebook sometimes, and Facebook stuff is not always, well, you know, it doesn't go to everybody. The Facebook decides who sees your post, so perhaps the people I needed to see the post didn't see it. But she was disturbing to me, you know, a vision of fire is in many ways a vision of destruction. I think most people would interpret it as a vision of destruction. But fire is also a tool, it's a tool that supports life, and it's also can be a tool of creation. You talk about a forest fire where the fire clears out the deadwood and creates the ashes that fertilize the soil and make it possible for new trees to grow. So maybe the symbol of fire is just that, the symbol of the deadwood of life being burned away. So are we talking about deadwood? Are we talking about the things like this movie theater that I'm so blue because it's gone now and I can never go there again? And I realize that what I wanted to talk about last week, I talked about impermanence, this sort of grandiose idea of impermanence, really is I'm not even really thinking about impermanence. What I'm thinking about is attachment. What I'm thinking about is my attachment to things that tie me to times in my life when I was happy. So there's that movie theater that's gone now. There's my old elementary school that no longer exists. There's the old house where my father and I used to visit his father, the house where my father grew up, that no longer exists. There's the dining commons on campus when I was an undergrad, where I ate every day for 4 years. It's been torn down, gone now. The building where I worked on campus for 4 years is still there, and it had its own issues. I mean, it was it had been mutilated a number of times. There was an older building, and you know, additions put onto it and things. There's right across the hall from where my computer lab was, where I worked, was this beautiful old lecture hall that was built on two levels, like these things you only see in movies now, where people were sitting up on the balcony taking notes on the lecture. They'd taken that room and they had blocked off the balcony and created additional office space. And it seemed to me sometimes when I was in that building, you know, late at night, you could hear the building crying. You know, what's been done to me? Why must I exist in this mutilated state now? So in that, but it's still there. What isn't there is the old football field, the one where the our wonderful football team made its reputation back in the 1920s, and they decided to build this big coliseum for them to play in because there wasn't enough room at the old football field, and people all said, that's crazy. You can't expect, you know, that many people to come to a college football game. But the university and the city fathers took the gamble, and they won. And this the old field just got sort of parceled off bit by bit, and new buildings built on it. And now all that's really left is a historical marker that says this is where it all happened. And there's like a depression. It used to be the one corner of the field. The field was like lower. It was built on a sort of a lower level, and people stood up on this rim and watched and looked down and watched the game. Like one corner of the field still existed. Well, they put a building over that now. That even that last corner is gone now. And he recalled from me Carl Sagan in Cosmos on PBS. Talking about the library at Alexandria, you know, there's a couple of shelves, and that's all that's left of this wonderful grand thing. So I'm the things, again, thinking of the things that are personal to me, that are gone now, and I feel the loss. I feel the loss of those things, the loss of people that I was attached to, and it keeps me from seeing this wonderful vision that my friend on the Nine of Drums is seeing. I think my focus on that attachment. I don't think attachments are completely bad. I mean, you want to be attached. You know, I'm attached to my daughter. I'm attached to my granddaughter. Knowing, you know, well that, you know, one or the other of us is going to be, I mean, but anyway, before getting into that, that's a different issue. I guess to be attached to people and things that are gone irretrievably and forever, I think must be bad. Mustn't it? I mean, if it takes your attention away from the things you ought to be paying attention to, what else can I say about that? I don't know. It seems like I've maybe turned on Masters of the Obvious today. I thought I had something really profound to say, but it doesn't seem to be coming. Just that attachments can keep you from seeing what you need to be seeing. Should I start talking about phones? Maybe I should start talking about phones and something else will come to me. I don't like phones. As people who call in this show often find out, phones bring the unexpected, and I just despise the unexpected. It's one thing about having, if a phone call is set up and I know it's coming and I know the person who's calling and I know what we're going to talk about, that's one thing. But it's a terrifying prospect for me. There's a phone call sitting in the queue right now. And this is a person's number I don't know. I don't know who this person is. And I'm not going to say terrified. Terrified is overstating it. I just don't want to pick it up. I wish it weren't there. I mean, it's probably a perfectly nice person with a perfectly nice point to make. It might even be somebody I know. I just don't recognize the number. But, you know, it takes a lot to get me to roll the dice. It takes a whole lot to get me to roll the dice in a way, it's a big way to me, which is answering the telephone. And I don't think I can, unlike most of my various foibles, where I have a pretty good idea where they came from. My telephone phobia, I really don't know. Unless it's just something under the general heading of the unknown and potential for embarrassment. I get it. You know, I get it from my friends all the time. You know, why? Because the phone rang and I didn't answer it. I have this cute thing that I memorized once. It came from something that I read about the telephone being the biggest time waster in the office, and how we just answer the phone whether it really needs to be answered or not. And so I came up with this little bit. I said, you know, the phone rings and we answer it. The phone rings and we answer it. The phone rings and we answer it. And the phone rings and we answer it. And the phone rings and we answer it. Who's in charge here? Seems like the phone is in charge. The phone rings and we answer it. Always, every time. And true when I was first spouting that back in the 1990s, like 100 times true today. And people walking around. I was watching the big parade today, the Bratwurst Festival parade. Actually, the big parade is tomorrow. This is Friday, is the semi big parade. But there was a unit went by, and the lady sitting in, not the driver, thank God, the lady sitting in the passenger seat wasn't even looking out and waving at the people. She was on her phone, It's just texting away. I'm in the middle of the parade. You know, I'll never be able to tell you what it looks like because I never looked at it. But she's certainly not afraid to use her phone. Texting doesn't bother me near as much as talking on the phone. And I have, what is it? I've had, you know, when someone tries to funnel me into, okay, you have to call. You know, you can't settle this problem by email. You can't settle it with a text. You can't send us a letter. It has to be on the phone. And I get in big trouble with those things sometimes. Because I just, if it has to be the phone, I'll put it off and I'll put it off and I'll put it off. And I don't understand why. That's what makes it so difficult to deal with. I don't know why using the telephone disturbs me so much. I want to, I don't know, what do I want to do? Do you want to hear a lion growl? Here's a lion growl. Was that a lion? I don't even know what the hell that was. It didn't sound like somebody moving furniture. Wait a minute, do that again. Hold on. I don't know, I guess if you use some imagination, that might kind of sound like a lion growl. That's something. I'm stealing the other show's sound effects now. And that didn't work. Hold on. So all the various, you can tune in. We have other shows on here. If you're bored with me, you can come back and on Mondays especially, I think that's probably the best, or at least the most popular show we have is Iggy Garcia and his band of friends. And they're not shy about answering the phone, and they do readings. So that's a lot of, their show's a lot of fun. You can check them out on Mondays at 6 p.m. if you care to. Or you look at our webpage with insightsradio.com and get a lot more information about the things we do. Just got 2.5 minutes left. I really thought the things I was going to do were going to take longer today. Had another couple of suggestions that I extend my show to 45 minutes, but I get to the end of a 30-minute show and I'm doing this. What's 45 minutes going to sound like? Some shows could go 45 minutes. That's the thing. There have been nights when I felt like I could keep talking for a while. Other nights, kind of like tonight, I'm kind of tired. You know, I walked all over that festival. And I haven't been walking as much as I need to be. I haven't been getting into nature as much as I need to be. I think I feel disconnected in that way as well. I think maybe if I could get back to some of that, to find some trees, and while the place I've moved to is far away from the trees, just it's in the depths of the city, and it's far away any sort of natural connection. I think I need to find a place I can go to where I can sort of reconnect with green things and trees and rocks that can convey some wisdom to me. Perhaps this feeling of disconnectedness will be what's the word I want? I think subside, but to be subsided doesn't work. Guess I'll work on that and get right back to you. But anyway, thanks for listening. Apologize to those who prefer the telephone as their medium of expression. I'll talk to my therapist and see if I can get some work done on that. Next week, back here, same time, same place. Thanks for listening. Have a good night.